Good morning. Praise the Lord for this beautiful sunny Sunday. Praise God. Amen. And first, I would like just to extend a warm welcome to any of the visiting families who are here for the graduation of their son or daughter. If we have any graduates, could you please stand? We could just acknowledge you briefly. There's two of you. And happy Mother's Day. Truly, I hope all of you mothers out there recognize the great worth of your dignity and your role in the family, but in society as a whole. Our gospel reading for this Sunday is a very short one. And there's one line in it that's relatively very short as well, but in it, I believe, has a very beautiful description, kind of a window into what it means to be a follower of Christ, of what that role looks like. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. It's a quick, short line, but there's so much packed into describing who we are as disciples of Christ. I think the first thing to take note of is what he calls us. My sheep. I think if you were the first disciple or apostle to hear the Lord call you that, you're my sheep, I think most of us would be kind of put off. Really? You're calling us a sheep? There's nothing more kind of almost pathetic, just kind of unable to protect itself, kind of dumb as a sheep, right? It's true that sheep, even when they graze, they'll continue to eat in a particular location. So much so that they'll start just eating all the roots up so that all that is left there is dirt. And so sheep truly need to be led to different pastures. They have to be moved so that they can find food, find sustenance. Sheep are also utterly defenseless. Kind of their only mode of defense is to kind of stay in a flock. That those kind of closest to the center of that flock can remain protected from any type of animal that's going to come and try to eat or destroy them. They have no means to protect themselves. They're utterly dependent upon another. Jesus begins by calling each one of you, myself, his sheep. My sheep, hear my voice. I think that's kind of a cute analogy is what we think when we hear that. Oh, okay, so the sheep, they listen to our Lord. But he's pulling from the cultural realities from which he came, Palestine. Palestine was full of shepherds, it was full of sheep. And one thing in particular that's really unique to sheep is they recognize the voice of the shepherd. They won't listen to anyone else's voice when they call, but they know when the shepherd calls. I spent about 10 weeks in the Holy Land, and one of the days we went to kind of go with some of the shepherds that lived in the hills of Palestine, and to just kind of experience what it was like. What did these shepherds experience? And the guy who was kind of leading us through this experience first had us kind of try to move this flock of sheep from one location to another. And he gave us this little stick, and he said, all right, go for it. So we kind of herded around these sheep, and we're trying to push them with our bodies. We're yelling at them. We figured, okay, I guess we kind of supposed to smack their butts if they're not listening. And they kind of would listen, and they would go all different areas. After we struggled, the shepherd simply made these kind of clicking noises, at least that's what it sounded like to me, to the sheep. And instantly, almost miraculously, they listened, they heard, and they simply would follow his voice. So the Jews at the time of Christ, when Jesus says, you are my sheep, you hear my voice, they would have had that very real image in their mind that they know the voice, they recognize the voice, and the voice is a sound of protection. It's a sound of what's going to give them sustenance, what's going to bring them to living pastures. I know you and I live in a culture full of noise. There's a cacophony of noise, all kind of grasping at and fighting for our attention. We have our cell phones, we have the news media, the news outlets, we have social media, we have friends, we have family, we have our spouses, we have our own voices within our own minds, within our own hearts. I think a question for you and I is, amidst all that noise, do we recognize His voice? Have we truly become attentive to what it sounds like? Can we distinguish between the myriad of voices around us? And maybe even more importantly, am I even listening? I know life is busy and there's so many things distracting us, pulling us in a million different ways. Do I even have the space, the silence, to even listen? My sheep, hear my voice. I know them. Now, it's such a short little phrase, I know them. But it's one that you can sit and ponder, reflect upon, and really absorb that I think brings great consolation to our thirsting hearts. At the end of the day, I think if we all really admit it, one of our greatest thirsts is to be known. We long to be fully known. To be seen not from the outside, but really from the inside out. I know many of you mothers out there right now, you can attest that you probably, out of everyone in the family, know your children. You literally carry them in your womb for 9 months. You watch them grow from a little tiny babe changing their diapers up to an adult. You've seen their attitudes, you've seen their personalities, how they react, how they kind of have moved themselves through life. And I probably would bet that you would say, I know them. But even you would admit your knowledge of them is not the same as how God knows them. See, God doesn't know each one of us from the outside. He's not trying to figure you out. He's not counting all your actions and trying to decipher what's really going on inside of you. God knows each one of us from the inside out. He truly is loving you into existence now. He's your creator. And so He knows you because right here, right now, He's making you. He knows your genetic makeup. He knows your DNA. He knows every cell that makes you up, every molecule. As Scripture says, He can count the hairs of your head. He knows you as no other person possibly could. And beyond that, He knows and tastes with you every experience that you have ever had. He knows you. And in a beautiful way, that longing in our heart, that very human thirst to be known, is ultimately finally met in Him. He knows you. My sheep, hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. 6 years ago is when I discerned to enter the priesthood. Well, no, that's not right. 6 years I've been a priest. It was 6 plus 7. 15? 14? 14? 13. I was wanting the elementary school students to correct me. 13. 13 years ago, I discerned the priesthood. And I promise you, it was this experience that seized my heart. In a moment when I was on a retreat, at this time of my life, I was drifting. I went on this retreat. I came before the blessed Lord. And in a moment of intense peace, being totally fulfilled and completed, I also had this deep recognition. Jagger, I know you. I know everything about you. And that just grabbed me in a way that really made me follow. I think when we thirst for that knowledge to be known and experience, not in my head, like all of us can be like, oh yeah, God knows me. But to come before Him and be like, oh my gosh, He knows me. And I guess the next step beyond that is in that complete, intense knowledge, accepts you exactly as you are, that has a way of capturing the heart, that you're like, tell me where to go. I will go wherever you lead me. When we read sacred scripture, the encounter of almost all the apostles is the same. The Lord kind of beckons them out from a way of life. They have an experience of him. And every time we hear what? They left everything and followed him. Now, this is true. This is a real historical reality. An encounter with this person, this man named Jesus, captured them in such a way that they left everything to follow. And I think Jesus, in this beautiful description, is getting at it. You're my sheep. And my sheep, when I call, they know that voice. Because what they have experienced is my deep, penetrating knowledge of them. And because of that, they follow me. The word there, the Hebrew word for knowledge, isn't like factual knowledge. It's not even relational knowledge, kind of like I really know my closest friend or I know my spouse. The word, it's hard to capture in English, but it's used in sacred scripture at the beginning of Genesis. We hear it when Adam knew Eve and she bore Cain. We hear it again when Mother Mary, the angel Gabriel, comes to Mother Mary and says, you're going to be with child. And Mary says, how can this be? And she says, I do not know man. We translate it as knowledge, but it's not mind knowledge. It's this deep, penetrating, covenantal knowledge where two souls become one. That's the type of knowledge he's speaking of. Marital knowledge. But the type of knowledge that really only God can have with each one of his creatures. That the two truly become one and bear fruit. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I want to just end with kind of this image. Kind of close your eyes. Imagine for a moment, what is the one thing in your life that you love the most, that you cling on to the most? A loved one, a relative? I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, maybe our own ego, maybe our comfort. Just honestly, what is the one thing that you really hold on to? Okay. Now imagine that you're on a cliff, you're on this precipice, and one of your hands is barely holding on this cliff, just with your fingertips, and your other hand grasping as hard as you possibly could is that thing that you just thought of. You don't want to let go. And you're tugged in between, clinging on to the edge of this cliff, to this precipice below, and you look up, and to your amazement, our Lord is there. And our Lord looks upon you, gazes you precisely in the eyes, and says, let go of that, and give me your hand. Can you do it? Honestly. Whatever you love, whatever that thing is, can you let go of it and give him your hand? And he lets you up and you follow him. Honestly, I know myself, and I know truthfully, I cannot perfectly let go of whatever that thing is. There's a part of me that says, Lord, are you kidding me? Just grab both of us, right? Why do you want me to let go? But that's the kicker. That's where the rubber hits the road. That one who has felt being utterly loved, totally accepted, fully known, can trust him to let go and follow. They left everything and followed him. In a few moments, as we come before the living Lord in the Blessed Eucharist, and I invite you as you sit and pray after he truly enters into you to reflect upon that one line. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. and discern in all honesty with Christ, how well do you do any of this? Truthfully, have I accepted that I'm his sheep, or do I still pretend to be a wolf? Have I accepted my dependency? Do I say I don't need you? Or have I realized I need to listen to his voice? And then do I perk up and listen? Do I hear him when he calls? Do I know his voice? To what extent would I recognize it in the cacophony of noise around me? Have I experienced the truth that I am known, truly, deeply, profoundly known? And in that experience, can I honestly say, Lord, wherever you lead me, I will follow.